Open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Last week we launched into our study that we call Future Matters, which is our survey of the book of Revelation. So what we're doing is we're looking at God's script for the end times chapter of redemptive history. This morning we're going to examine the first chapter of this end times prophecy as we quickly realize that this is truly the revelation of Jesus Christ. There are two primary points that I want to make this morning. The first point is this, is that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The second point that we're going to see here in God's Word is that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I know it sounds like I said the exact same thing, but hang with me here, and you're going to see what we're talking about, okay? First thing I want to do is I want to define the word revelation. Revelation in the Greek means a disclosure or an unveiling. So that's what this book is. It's a disclosure and an unveiling. The book of Revelation is an unveiling of the character and the plans of Jesus, of God. How many of you want to know God more? Everybody here. The book of Revelation is an unveiling of God, a revealing of Jesus to us. How many of you want to know what your future is going to look like? How many of you want to know what's going to happen in the future? Yeah, I mean, that's natural. We all have that desire. In fact, that's why so many people are all messed up in the head, because they're so worried about tomorrow. They're worried about their future. What's going to happen? Well, as we study the book of Revelation, we're going to see our future revealed to us. God is good to us. He hasn't left us hanging as His children. He's given us this prophecy so that we can know Him more and so that we can know our future of what He has planned for us. In fact, the clearly stated purpose of Revelation is to reveal Jesus Christ, His person, and His plan for the future. So, as we look at this first chapter in the book of Revelation, we're going to look at it actually verse by verse this morning. We're going to go through every single verse in the first chapter. I can't say that we're going to do that for the entire book of Revelation, although I feel as though God is leading us to do that for chapters 2 and 3. So this may be more than just a 5 or 6 week study. It might go a little bit longer than that. But I told you last week that we've got to let God just guide us and direct us and take us where He wants to take us on this incredible journey of looking at what He has planned for us. But we're going to take notice of two important points this morning. Again, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, meaning that this book is intended to reveal the person, Christ Jesus, to the world. And we're going to see that here in the first chapter. Revelation is intended to reveal the person, Christ Jesus, to us. And again, the second point is this is the revelation of Jesus Christ in the sense that this book is intended to unveil God's plans for His church, what is yet to come, future matters. So turn with me to Revelation 1, verse 1. Let's read what God has to say to us. The revelation of Jesus Christ, point 1. Revealing the man Christ Jesus to the world. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants what must soon take place. What's going to happen? What's our future? It's the revelation of Jesus. And He's going to unveil to us His plans for our future. He made it known by sending His angel to His servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, as we read last week, of course tells us, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. And I want to remind us that we will be blessed as a people, as the people of God. We will be blessed as we are taking this journey through this prophecy called the Book of Revelation. This is a promise from God. We're going to be blessed. Amen? Amen. So, let's deal with some of the details about the Book of Revelation before we continue. Who wrote the Book of Revelation? Yeah, who's responsible for bringing this prophecy to us, the church? It's John, isn't it? Most Bible scholars believe that it's John, the disciple that Jesus loved, the same guy who wrote the Gospel of John and the Epistles of John. Most Bible scholars attribute it to this man. Most believe the book was written sometime around 95 A.D. That's pretty late, actually. About 95. A lot of things happened. Virtually all the other disciples had been martyred by that time. John was left. But how is this book actually written? We see one indicator in the first verse here. It says, God made it known by sending His angel to John. God made it known. See, this is actually a revelation from God Himself, given to man, the Apostle John. So ultimately, the author of this book is God. And we know the entire Word of God, the entire Bible, is inspired, directed, and ultimately written and given to us by God. Interesting thing about this book, though, as we see, I mean, it is directly given by God. Some of the other scripture that we have, now hang with me here a little bit, it's all given by God, you got that, okay? Some of the other scripture we have, though, are letters that were written by apostles to people in the church, right? And of course, they were led by the Holy Spirit on what they needed to say, how they needed to encourage the church. God gave them the words and the understanding on how they needed to disciple the people of God. But we're going to see that this particular book, the book of Revelation, was handed down in a very unique, very direct way. The Apostle John is really a scribe. As we see, the Lord Jesus gave John an angel, first of all. He gave him prophetic words. God spoke directly, audibly to him. And John wrote those words down verbatim for us. And God gave the Apostle John dreams and visions. He let him see, actually see the things that we're reading here in this book, in this prophecy. Very unique, very direct interaction with the Apostle John. Let's continue reading this prophecy. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Again, this book, this prophecy is a revelation, an unveiling, a revealing to us of the person Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? He is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. And the ruler of the kings of the earth, the faithful witness. I want to encourage you as you're reading through the book of Revelation, time and time again as we're going through this study, these several weeks. I want to encourage you, when you get to a description of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to stop. Meditate on that. Who is Jesus? What does it mean that He's the faithful witness? Sit and wait and listen and ask the Lord to reveal to you, what does that mean? Let your understanding of the Lord just explode as you read this book. That is one of the primary purposes of the book of Revelation, that we would know Jesus more. Don't blow by these amazing descriptions of who our Lord and Savior is. Amen. Don't blow by them. Stop. Meditate on them. Let them sink in. Let God minister to you as He reveals Himself to you in this book. Continuing in verse 5. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests. That was prophesied earlier today, wasn't it? It was either in pre-service prayer or in our time of worship. Somebody spoke that over the body of Christ. That we are a kingdom and priests. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And then verse 7 says, look! He, meaning Jesus, look, He is coming with the clouds. And every eye will see Him. And again, this is a revelation and unveiling of our future. Jesus Christ is coming down from heaven with the clouds, descending to the earth, and every single eye will see Him because the man, Christ Jesus, is coming back to this earth. Every eye will see Him. And even those who pierced Him. And all the peoples of the earth, speaking of those who rejected Him, will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Again, the central theme of this prophecy is to present to us the existence, the power, the sovereignty, the justice, the wisdom, the goodness, the person, Jesus Christ. That is the central theme of this prophecy. You see, the centerpiece of the book of Revelation is the exaltation or the lifting up of Jesus Christ. We've got to understand that. Many people don't see it that way. And they're missing it. They're missing the most important, the most marvelous, the most beautiful thing about this entire book. And that is the lifting up, the revealing, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. As important as it is for us to understand the details of the end times, as exciting as it is to know how He's coming back, what's going to happen, what signs we can be looking for, what do these judgments all mean, as exciting as the details are and as important as they are, they're very, very important because the Lord gave them to us on purpose for a very important reason. But as important as those things are, the primary purpose still of this book is to reveal Jesus to us. His heart, His power, His leadership, His love. It's the primary purpose of this. And I want us to get that. I want everyone here, as you're reading through this book, I want you to get that. I want you to have an encounter with the man Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord, who's coming back. Because of His great love for you. I want you to have a revelation of Him like you've never had before. And you will. Because God's given it to you. He's given this book for you to have that revelation. That encounter with the living God. And our response to this revelation, our response to this revelation of Jesus should be one of longing for Him. As you read this prophecy, you will not be able to get away from a deep longing for Jesus. You will long for His return. You'll long to see His face. You'll long for His embrace physically. Read this book, meditate on it, and you'll want Jesus. It's the primary purpose, again, of the book of Revelation. Let's continue reading. Verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion, in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos. I want to stop a few times because things jump out at me as I'm reading the Word of God. I know they do to you too, but I'm the one with the microphone right now. Some interesting things that John's reminding us of right here. That he's our companion, he's our brother in the Lord, but in suffering. I just wanted to stop there for a moment and say, you know what? Suffering has been around since the beginning of time. The disciples knew it. John understood suffering. And the Lord understands our suffering that we have to deal with today. And that our brothers and sisters are dealing with around the world. But we also are companions in the kingdom of God. Of bringing the kingdom and seeing the kingdom come and be established on this earth, as John points out here. And we're also brothers and sisters and companions as we patiently endure and wait for His return. We're not in this alone. Very important, I think. We could blow right by this. We're not in this alone. We have companions. We have peers. We have one another. The body of Christ. And we get to live this exciting life together. We get to go through the tough times together and minister to one another. We get to see the kingdom of God come and we get to participate in that together. And we get to endure and wait patiently together. I think that's pretty special. Very, very special. So John, as he is waiting, enduring, and seeing the kingdom even come, he's on the island of Patmos. Why? Why isn't he back in Ephesus where he was the bishop? What was going on? Why is he on the island of Patmos? Well, it tells us here. John says, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Is it because there were thousands and tens of thousands of people on the island of Patmos that he needed to minister to? No. It was because he was bringing the word of Jesus. He was bringing the gospel in that area of Asia where modern-day Turkey is. And the rulers of this earth didn't like it, so they exiled him to the island of Patmos. So you see, at this time, the Apostle John was actually an exile, a prisoner of sorts. Some scholars believe that he was just exiled and he had a nice little house there that he lived in, and that could have been the case. Others believe that he actually was in some kind of prison and on work detail, even in his latter years. But this is the condition of his life as he's receiving this revelation from the Lord. Just because life is hard, because maybe we're in a season that life has dealt us some difficult circumstances. God can reveal Himself to us right in the middle of that. Right in the middle of that hurt. Right in the middle of everything crashing in on us. Right when we think all of our loved ones have abandoned us and we're exiled. The Lord wants to reveal Himself to His people. And He can do it if we allow Him to. That was a good word, wasn't it? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So he was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. In verse 10, on the Lord's day, John writes, I was in the Spirit. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, the audible voice of the Lord at this time, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. We again see point number two in this passage. The prophecy is unveiling God's plans for our future, for the end times. As it says here, John is to write down what the Lord shows him in visions and in dreams. But let me take a quick detour again. There's a statement that John makes in here that I think we need to camp on for just a little while. A very important statement. He said, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Then I heard these things. Then I saw these things. Then the revelation came to me. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. He didn't say, on Sunday afternoon, I was out cutting the grass. He didn't say, you know, on Sunday, I was watching the ball game. On Sunday, I was busy cleaning out the garage. Now, let me say this. The Lord can speak to us at any time and in any circumstance. And I'm sure most of you have heard God or felt the direction of the Holy Spirit in some very unique and interesting times and ways. But do you read the intentionality when John says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit? Intentionally and purposefully letting us know that he was in the Spirit. He was seeking the Lord. He had put himself in a position to hear the voice of God. And the Lord showed up and gave him the revelation, the prophecy, the vision and the dreams of the final chapter of redemptive history. He gave it to a man who was in the Spirit. We had some words given earlier in our worship service encouraging us to be in the Spirit. Prayer beforehand. D. Brown read scripture and talked about worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. That was a prophetic word for today. It's a word for us to hear today as the church. I got a word from the Lord 2 weeks ago. Might have almost been 3 weeks ago. It was on a Wednesday morning. I was praying and seeking God for our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And the Lord gave me the word, the secret place. He said, the secret place. And he was encouraging me to share with the people in the prayer meeting that night, that we need to be people who go to the secret place, who pursue Him in the secret place, who first of all find and even understand what that secret place is, but then go there, a place of waiting on Him, of listening for Him. What does God have to say to you? It says in Psalm 46, which again was another scripture that was prayed in our pre-service prayer. God has a message for us. I'm telling you, church, this morning, we need to hear this right here. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Let me paraphrase this a little bit for you. Slow down. Slow down. Make space for me. Focus on me. Listen, and I'll reveal myself to you. And you'll know that I'm God. You'll know me. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 27:14 encourages us to wait for the Lord. Wait for Him. Isaiah 40, verse 31, tells us that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Those who wait upon Him, who allow the Lord to minister to them, to speak to them, to fill them, will actually encounter the presence and the touch of the Lord, and it will renew their strength. So as I was seeking God and He gave me that word for the secret place, He reminded me of that song that we even sang this morning, which again wasn't even on our song list. I don't know why it was added, but we sang the song in the secret, in the quiet place. In the stillness, You, God, are there. Remember where we're coming from here. Remember, on the Lord's Day, John says, I was in the Spirit, and then the Lord revealed Himself. And not just Himself, but the final chapter of redemptive history to Him. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, God is there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for You, Lord. Not just for whatever pops in my head, but I'm waiting for an encounter with God. I'm waiting for the voice of the Lord. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to minister to me, to speak to me, to reveal kingdom things, to reveal Himself to me. Because I want to know You more. That song says, I want to know You. I want to hear Your voice. I want to know You more. I want to touch You. I want to see Your face. I want to know You more. And the second verse says this, I'm reaching for the highest goal. What's the highest goal? To be popular, rich? No. The highest goal is Jesus. I am reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize, Jesus. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, clearing my schedule, getting rid of the busyness, getting it out of my way because I want to know You more. You see, the Apostle John was in the Spirit, and the Lord brought him revelation of who he is and of his future plans. Do you want to know God more? Do you want revelation from the Lord? Well then, folks, we got to be people who seek His face. We got to be people who push every hindrance aside, every distraction aside, and we need to purposefully and intentionally find that quiet place. And we need to be people who are in the Spirit. We're designed for that. You were designed to be people who are in the Spirit. You were designed to be people who hear the voice of God. Let's go for it. Let's go back to Scripture. Verse 12. Revelation 1, verse 12. John says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. So now John's hearing the voice of God and he's about to see visions that the Lord is giving him. And when I turned, John says, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white as wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. You want a picture of Jesus? This is what John saw. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. The Apostle John is seeing Jesus. When I saw him, John continues, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. So you better pay attention, John. And as we know, John's paying attention at this point. And Jesus says, write this down. Write what you've seen, what is now, and what will take place later. Again, an unveiling of the future. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. We were just blessed with a beautiful picture of Jesus right there that was revealed to the Apostle John and now given to us. The book of Revelation is categorized by many as apocalyptic literature because it contains a lot of symbols, talks about end time stuff. But I got to tell you what, a lot of people get hung up on this. A lot of people look at the book of Revelation and they have all these symbols that start coming out at us. And these different pictures that you know what, our minds don't quite comprehend because we haven't seen that. And if we haven't seen it, then it must be, you know, just symbolic. But as we read the book of Revelation, we see that these symbols are defined, are purposeful and defined, clearly defined in most cases, so that we can understand what God is saying. For instance, as we just read here, the stars are angels. The lampstands are churches. So on and so forth. So I want to say something about this prophecy, about this book of Revelation. That God is not trying to confuse His church when He gives us this amazing word. This book is not a riddle. It's literally the final chapter of redemptive history. The book of Revelation means what it says and says what it means. It's very clear. Again, God's not trying to confuse us. He's not trying to trick the church. He's not trying to trip us up. He really isn't. I think sometimes, though, we make it more difficult than it needs to be. Again, and I believe it's because of our limited understanding, and we start processing things in the flesh rather than in the spirit. Human nature is, hey, if I can't understand it, must not be real. It's that old Doubting Thomas thing, too. I've got to be able to see it, touch it, feel it, before I believe it. Before I understand it. But this book is a direct presentation of what God really has planned. And it's a direct presentation of Jesus Himself. Again, it's not a riddle. When this book talks of Jesus coming with the clouds and everyone seeing Him, it means it. Jesus is really coming down from heaven. The man Christ Jesus, the physical man Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, is physically coming down from heaven with the clouds and everybody is going to see Him. Literally. It's not just a figurative picture. When this book speaks of a third of the earth being burnt up, it means it. When the book speaks of a fourth of the people dying, it means 25% of the people on this earth are going to die. When it talks of a thousand-year reign on this earth, it literally means a real thousand-year reign. When it talks about God's dwelling, coming down and being with men, it literally means God coming down and dwelling and living with us. Not us here, Him up there. Not us here in body and spirit and Him up there in spirit. No, it's God coming in the flesh and dwelling with us for all eternity. It says what it means, and it means what it says. And that's something we need to understand. There are people who look at the Word of God, and they pick and choose what's literal and what's not literal. They pick and choose what's for today and what's past and not for today. And we need to be careful with that, with our own human minds deciding what's right, what's not right. What does He really mean? God guides us through His Word. He gives us a lot of symbols in here, but He defines those symbols. We really can't understand what He's saying in this book. I grant you, it's not a piece of cake. You need to study it. You need to meditate on it. You need also to be in the Spirit, just as the Apostle John was in the Spirit when he received this revelation. If John was in the flesh and he received this, what would we have here in our Bible? He wouldn't have even understood it. He was in the flesh, but he wasn't. He was in the Spirit. You want to understand this book, this prophecy, you need to be in the Spirit. You need to let God guide you and direct you through His Holy Word for understanding. And you need to be open to the fact that He may blow your mind and He may offend some of the things that you have believed in the past and chosen to believe. He may offend you because He blows up the boxes that you've put Him in and that you've put this prophecy in over the years. So when we read this book, we are reading the actual plans that God has for our future, as revealed by Jesus Christ to us, His bride, the church. I think that's incredible. It's amazing what God has given us. I've said this before at other times. The Lord does not leave us hanging. He doesn't. He loves us so much. He sent us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the grace of Jesus Christ, the same power that raised Him from the dead, so that we could choose Him, love Him, live for Him. He's given us the book of Revelation, the dreams, the visions, the words that He spoke to the Apostle John have been given to us, the church, so that we can understand His plans and all that He has in store for us. That's a blessing. It's incredible. And we must not miss this important point, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the living God, is returning to earth. Driven by justice, He's coming back. Driven by love, Jesus is coming back. God is coming down from heaven to dwell with us for eternity. The book of Revelation is a love story. It is, and I know it's hard for some of us to get to that point where we see the love story part because of all the doomsday stuff that we're seeing in there. It's not a doomsday prophecy, although there's a lot of apocalyptic destruction and judgment and things that will happen. But this is a love story. Jesus is returning for His bride, and He's removing every single thing that hinders love. We're going to talk about it as we continue on and we get into these judgments that are going to happen here on the earth, and the tribulation and the different things that are going to occur. And our flesh looks at that and goes, that doesn't seem fair. That seems bad. Driven by love, God is going to purify this earth. He's going to remove sin. He's going to remove death. He's going to make all things new because He loves us. He loves us, and He desires that all men would know His Son Jesus and inherit the new earth with Him. That's His desire, and He's been patient with all of us so that we could choose Him. But in the end, driven by love, He's coming back and making all things new. And I want to end again by reading the first part of Revelation 1, verse 7. Revelation 1, verse 7. Look, He is coming with the clouds. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him. We're going to get to see Him again. We're going to get to walk with Him. We're going to get to dwell with Him. It's going to be beautiful.